We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
See, Coach, I'm doing my job. See? Here's my video.
Your wife's out there in the garage doing an iPhone
job.
Video.
Good job. Way to hit off that tee, bud. Keep at it. Keep that elbow up. Go. Got to do what you can right now to stay ready. I would love to see not a fancy garage pitching. I want a bad looking garage.
You want one like you would have?
Yeah, the mattress put up against the garage door so that it doesn't.
Brad Keller just firing fastballs on like an old twin mattress.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my gosh! You see, he just threw through the mattress. He's really got a live arm.
Or you can set up a lawn chair like we used to do for wiffle ball for the strike zone and just mow down the lawn chair.
Yeah, that'd be good too.
I'd be in favor of that. Supposed to be joined by Mike Matheny at some point tomorrow, so we'll see what the skipper has to say. 25 minutes from now, we'll be joined by Mike Remmers.
New member of the Kansas City Chiefs offensive lineman Mike Remmers will join us coming
up
at
9:30. For some point tomorrow.
Well, I don't know what time. I don't know what time.
Probably verified at some point today. Yeah. Check your
Twitter.
Yeah, your local social media feed.
Bob's social media.
It's a new version of the localistics.
It's the long tee is what we're working on.
That's right. Mike Matheny tomorrow, sometime between 6 and 10.
Tune in.
There you go. Well, I mean, Tom Brady was on Stern today. They didn't give an exact time for that, right?
No, you had no idea what time he was
coming
showing
on,
up.
Coming on Wednesday.
Yeah.
I mean, why do we have to get to specifics here? Just tune in from 6 to 10. Mike Matheny will join us tomorrow.
I think he's still on, too.
Yeah. The tournament is now done, so we shift a little bit, I guess, to today in sports history.
Yeah.
Why not today?
Might as well,
so
right?
some big things happened on this date. 2001, some guy named Tiger won the Masters.
There it is, as grand as it gets.
What a way to cap it off. Perfect speed, perfect line.
And Tiger has his slam.
Something I never dreamt that I would ever see or ever thought that anyone could ever do. I think it's the greatest feat I've ever known in all of sports.
Listen, we've talked history before. You have an incredibly keen sense of history. Why don't you tell us about the Tiger Slam and where it ranks in the history of this game?
Well, I don't think it's right for me to comment on that. I will say this, is that it will probably go down as one of the top moments in our sport, and I'm very proud of the accomplishments I've been able to have in my short career.
That's Tiger Woods on CBS, the call with Jim Nantz, and then quietly talking in the afterwards while putting on the green
Butler
jacket.
Cabin, Butler Cabin, as they like to call it.
Butler Cabin.
Butler Cabin.
Tiger yesterday tweeted out a photo of he, his girlfriend, and two kids having the Masters dinner last night.
Yeah, they're trying to figure out what was on the table, and you couldn't really tell, and people were guessing, well, that's clearly fajitas, because that's what he – no, you don't have no idea. It looked like a tower tray of nuts, like you put out for Christmas time, one of them type of trays with a big platter, smaller platter, and a tiny platter on top. That's what it looked like for me. At no point in that picture did I see fajitas.
They had the green jackets on.
Yeah, which is great. The kids had green jackets.
Replica of the cabin. The trophy was out. Well done.
Yeah, very nicely done by Tiger Woods.
Now delayed a Masters dinner, which usually kicks off kind of the week.
And this is usually the time of year where every sports talk show in America goes, what would you have if you won the Masters?
Yeah, that's true. We'll get to that later.
Is fajitas the answer?
We'll get to that in November.
Fajitas is not a bad suggestion, though, Ryan. All three, shrimp, chicken, and steak. You don't limit it.
That's a lot of sizzling.
Oh, God, yes. The fajita is a great meal.
I'm saying a lot of sizzling coming out to a full, like a full room.
Yeah.
That's a lot of sizzling.
A lot of
sizzling.
That'd
be good. That'd be good sound as well. This date in 1974, Hank Aaron hits number 715.
Here's the pitch by Downing. Swinging. There's a drive into left center field. That ball is going to be out of here. It's gone. run champion of all time, and it's Henry Aaron. The fireworks are going. Henry Aaron is coming around third. His teammates are at home plate, and listen to this crowd. The sellout crowd is cheering Henry Aaron, the home run king of all time. 715.
So 715 home runs, passing Babe Ruth. Pretty big day.
Sounded so old-timey.
Now there were two. Vince Scully had the call, and so did Milo Hamilton have the call of his home run. I believe that was the Milo Hamilton version. I think Vin was doing it on TV, and Milo Hamilton was doing like Braves radio at the time, and he called it on radio. So not only did you have one of the greats of all time set a great record, you had two of the most unbelievable baseball voices of all time calling that home run. And a little known fact, I think it's a little known fact, do you know that Craig Sager ran the bases with Hank Aaron after that? He was the guy out there as the reporter running around the field.
Champ, what do you think about the home run?
That was Craig Sager out there. The late Craig Sager was out there on that field as Hank Aaron crossed the plate for number 715 back when you could just run onto the field, you know?
Is that something you could just do?
Yeah, when did that stop in baseball? I mean, you go back and watch games from the 70s and whatnot. Like, go back and watch Chris Chambliss' home run for the Yankees in, like, 1976, whatever year that was. And he's rounding the bases, and fans are all over him and things like that. Watch that Hank Aaron home run. There's people out there, and, yeah, Sager. Yeah. Sager standing out there interviewing the guy like as he's crossing the plate.
Yeah. What do you think of him breaking the home run record?
Now you go onto the field and they arrest your ass.
The only person allowed on the field that I know of is Jonathan Pope, our buddy at the that works for Fox Sports Kansas City that holds the camera as the Royals are crossing home plate. He's the only one out there.
Right. He's the only
guy.
He's
got the exclusive access to this now. Anybody could run willy-nilly on the field.
You get immediate reaction that way, though, you know? Like, imagine getting the reaction from Hosmer as his mad dash from home, like, right as he's sliding across a plate.
Could you imagine standing there with a microphone?
And you're there with a mic.
You got dirt kicked in your face.
Could you imagine that? How awesome would that be? He just slides in and you're standing there going, what do you think about that, Haas?
Moose goes over into the dugout suite with that catch and you're just sitting there talking to him. Like, yeah. It'd be phenomenal.
Wild card game. The winning run scores you're there at home plate.
Not bad.
Trotting the bases with Gordo after Familia. Like,
yeah. So that was pretty cool.
Your thoughts.
Yeah. Hey, you just had a pretty big home run. How'd that feel?
That was awesome.
How'd you get here?
Who are you?
Speaking of the wild card game, speaking of Mad Dash, we'll discuss both next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
New Chief Mike Remmers will join us coming up at 9:30. We'll chat with the newest member offensive lineman of the Chiefs coming up in about 15 minutes. I came across this company because of something Arrowhead Pride tweeted out.
I came across this company a couple of years ago. I think when they put out the shirt that said, do you believe in Miracurls? And it was when the curling team won the gold medal.
Let's go.
And I got the shirt that says, do you believe in Miracurls?
Do you still wear that shirt?
It's in the rotation. I'll throw it on tomorrow.
That's a good shirt. So there's a bunch of these companies that make fun T-shirts, right? For various things, sporting events and what have you. So this was the first one I saw that had the run it back tee.
Yeah, they are not licensed by the leagues, but they're licensed by the players' associations. I got a Whit Merrifield one
It's called BreakingT.com. Yeah. BreakingT.com.
It's an awesome, awesome company. And they sell some of these shirts, too, at Rally House. You can get some of these shirts as well. They had, like, the Wasp shirt, T-shirt that I have. They have that at Rally House and things like that. So they make, like, awesome stuff that's not licensed by the leagues, but it's licensed by the Players Association, so they can use the likeness of a lot of players, at least by the Major League Baseball players one, because I put one on about Whit Merrifield last year when he had that hit streak going on. I got one for Whit as well.
So they've got a collection of classic baseball T-shirts out now. The Nolan Ryan Strikeout King one's pretty cool because it's got kind of the Astros colors, you know, the Reggie Jackson, Mr. October, Mookie Magic. Sid Bream sliding into home.
That's a good one.
if you had a Sid Bream, he is safe T-shirt.
Right.
That's going to Joe Carter touch them all.
Yep.
For instance, for that home run. And it just got us thinking, what Royals shirt would you want to have? And to me, I still want the
Kevin Mitchell barehanded catch one.
That's a good one too. I still want the photo with the stunned look that was in the newspapers at the time of the mad dash home.
Right.
So I think that would be my A number one T-shirt would be the mad dash home Hosmer. And I'd have to have the crowd, the stunned look of the Mets fans in the background, which to me made it.
That may be a little bit harder to produce with the fans in the background. But for me, I'm thinking about like most iconic moment in Royals history. I can't get past the Pine Tar game. I've got an image of a T-shirt with like a flailing George Brett running. You know,
top
the image
step of the dugout.
Yeah, like George running out there and being held back, you know, when they're calling him out after the Pine Tar game. So I would think that would be the one that they would create for the Royals. If you're creating like that most iconic great moment on a T-shirt, I think George coming out of the dugout would be a priceless T-shirt to have.
That's a pretty good one as well. I don't know. Picture the third. I don't know. I don't know how exactly you do the wild card.
Yeah.
Unless it's a celebration. I don't know. The hit inside the bag, maybe. I don't know.
But I don't know. Wouldn't have, tough.
It wouldn't have the hitter, right? Right. You'd be the fielder, but. That one would be okay. Maybe Denkinger call
the blown call one would be really
Denkinger
good too.
Signaling safe,
yeah,
would be a great one as a troll job more than anything.
I'd buy that one.
Buy that one and flash it towards St. Louis.
Buy
for sure.
Different colors if I could. Gordo being held at third with Jersey High holding
wow.
him up would kind of be
wow.
a really good one. And Ken Harvey behind the tarp.
Should he have sent him or something? Just,
yeah.
You know, in the writing, which would be kind of funny.
Yeah. But, like, yeah, you got Jersh with his hands up and Gordo stopping at third. Or Ken Harvey falling behind the tarp, you know, would kind of be a good one.
Certainly Gordo finger in the air.
Oh, that's a good one as well.
I mean, how could you not want none of us are going to be able to afford a statue, but I could afford the T-shirt
yeah.
of it.
You could afford the $25 T-shirt and wear that forever and a day.
If
so,
they sold those statues, would you buy one for your front yard? Like you're entertaining the option of doing that?
What's the cost?
I mean, I would assume significant.
Yeah.
I was thinking, like, if it's a $99 price point and I could get an Alex Gordon statue for the yard,
Butler
I would
doing
probably
the zoom,
do that.
Zoom against the Angels. Yeah, when Butler stole that base, that was good.
Yeah, well, Butler doing the zoom. Not Dyson doing the zoom, but Butler doing it. That's pretty funny.
Bo Jackson climbing the wall.
Oh, good call.
Pretty good one as well.
Yeah,
or him throwing out Harold Reynolds from, like, deep left field.
Yeah, there's another. You know, for an organization that went for a very long time without having anything memorable happen, the Royals have a lot of memorable moments in their history, like a lot of memorable plays in their history. I think when you look at the Chiefs, you got 65 toss, power, trap, and wasp. Like, those are the two, without a doubt, that are the plays that everybody talks about in Chiefs history. Think about all the ones we just mentioned about the Kansas City Royals and some of the memorable plays and moments that they've had in their franchise history. They've had a ton of memorable actual plays in their franchise history for a franchise that went from essentially 1985 to 2015, you know, save a couple of years of some average teams, but not much happening for a 30-year stretch. They got a lot of memorable historic plays when it comes to baseball.
So you can submit your 693-06 T-shirts you would want to buy, classic Royals moments. Harvey behind the tarp one would be funny. I don't know.
With Tony Pena pushing it away, too. Yeah. You'd have to have Tony pushing the tarp away Ken Harvey is wedged behind
it. Was it Harvey and Grimsley that collided? Like, when Harvey
yes.
threw the ball
yes,
right into
his that's another
face?
Good one. Yeah. I went back a couple of months ago for whatever reason and watched that play again. And to hear Bob Davis on the call of that, like, sometimes as an announcer, I think Greg Gumbel got into this with the pick too. You're really sure what was going on. Bob Davis was in that mindset. Like, not that he didn't know what was going on. Like, he was stunned at what he just watched. I think we were all what the hell was that?
This can't possibly be happening.
Ken Harvey was just an absolute show in and of itself. I mean, it was
amazing that they paid them to do that too.
Like,
We're getting paid to do this.
Remember when he got hit in the back with the throw? He wasn't paying attention. He got jacked on the outfield, and then he had the collision with Grimsley, and they get stuck behind the tarp. I mean, right there. That's
a whole T-shirt. That's a whole week's worth of T-shirts.
That's a Ken Harvey collection. That's
good thing the Duke can hit.
How biggest seller that would be, the Ken Harvey collection, but maybe. We discussed having no offseason being tough on an NFL head coach. Got to be pretty tough for a college head coach as well, right?
Unless you're Mike Gundy.
You can't have players on campus. You have even more limits on contact, you know, even via Zoom and what have you. How many times you can, you know, check in with players anymore? Yeah. You know, you can't kind of organize workout. Can't do some of the somewhat limitations the pros have are massive to the college ranks, right? So imagine making the jump, say, from, I don't know, Appalachian State to Missouri this upcoming season.
Yeah.
For Elijah Drinkwitz. He dropped by the Drive yesterday on 610 Sports Radio, and he says making the jump for him is no excuses.
Is the football field still 100 yards long and 53 and a third yards wide?
We understand. Yes, sir, it is.
Do you still get a first down after if you get 10 yards?
I believe you do, yeah.
Yeah, well, we played an SEC team last year, too, and we were okay. So I'm not worried about SEC, NFL, or whatever. We'll make it work. I know it's good football. I know it's a tough league, but, you know, we played pretty good football where we've been in the past.
He's going out there and measuring the hoop.
Yeah, it's like Hoosiers,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, making sure it's 10 feet tall, the court's whatever. And I think that's kind of how we have to approach it. It would be difficult, but if you start making excuses, no one's here for those excuses, right?
No.
Especially in collegiate fans may be less forgiving at times. Like, you need to do this now. I don't care if you had limited time to get your team ready. We expect by September that this is a new-look team that moves forward. So it's probably the right approach. You just got to put your head down and deal with it.
You have no choice. You have no choice but to go out there and put your head down and deal with it. Because if you make excuses, you're not moving forward. You're getting held back. You're pulling everybody back with you. You can't sit here and make excuses for why it didn't happen or play a blame game or any of that. This is the reality we're living in. Make the most of it. And I like the fact that Coach Drinkwitz is making the most of it at Mizzou, even though he probably hasn't met half his players
yet.
Yeah,
no doubt. He has yet to meet most members of the team, but making the jump to the SEC. You can check out the full interview with the new Mizzou football coach at 610sports.com and via the radio.com app in the on-demand section. We catch up with the newest member of the Chiefs. Offensive lineman Mike Remmers will join us next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
You know, they had a little bit of success last year, and I'm just saying, obviously, you know, huge year for them last year, and when, you know, my agent called me and said we had an opportunity to play there, I jumped on it.
That's Mike Remmers, new offensive lineman for the Chiefs. And Fesco, when we heard that, we're like, we got to get him on the show.
Yeah.
It's just too funny. Like, they had some success last year. Yeah, seemed like a good idea at the time. Agent called today, why not? Mike Remmers joining us here on 610 Sports Radio. First off, Mike, thanks for joining us. And secondly, who was your source? Who sourced you to tell you that the Chiefs were pretty good last year?
Hey, well, thanks for having me on. And yeah, no, it's pretty obvious. You know, I make a little joke about it, but no, I mean, it's. I'm so excited for this opportunity. And, you know, I'm really excited for the season.
You know, I was watching an interview you did a few years ago, and you made the comment that red was your favorite color. Did that factor into picking this team?
Oh, of course. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Red's definitely my favorite color. And wearing some Chiefs shorts right now. They sent me some gear, so I'm wearing it proudly already.
That's good. They got you hooked up before you even really got in the building.
Yeah.
Yep. I got my wife, and I got three kids now, and they all got their own Kansas City shirts now. So I think we're probably going to get a picture today, and we'll get that up on the internet.
Nice.
Well,
the care package.
You've been around the league, man. I think you played for legitimately like a third of the teams in the National Football League.
Yep.
Can you go through like your entire career and go like through every stop of where you've been? Because you're a traveling man, my friend.
Sure, yeah. No, I honestly, like, going in, you know, in college, going into the NFL, I really had no idea what to expect, and it took me down a, you know, interesting path, but it's been pretty awesome, and
that's been great. So I started out at Denver for preseason, got released, and went to Tampa practice squad. The following year, started out Tampa, activated San Diego, released from there, and then picked a claim by Minnesota. Then I went from cut at Minnesota, went to St. Louis practice squad, then got activated at Carolina, where I was there for 2.5 years, and then the following year, I went back to Minnesota for 2 years, and then spent last season with New York Giants.
Yeah, so that's 7 teams in 8 years. Wow, yeah,
you got it down. Right. In the midst of that, you were almost a Chief several years ago. Even watched a game at Arrowhead. Explain how this came to be.
Yeah. So I was at the Chargers at the time, and I was coming off an injury, ankle injury, and I was rehabbing it, and then I was finally back that whole week. So I was practicing all week, and then we're in the city, and we're doing like a walkthrough the day before the game, and they needed another position. They needed another guy. I thought I was going to be active, but they needed another guy, so they released me while I was in Kansas City. So they're like, you'll just be on the sidelines and just like watch the game, like you're on the team. Then we're gonna reactivate you tomorrow, the following day on Monday. And then I didn't clear. I got claimed by Minnesota. So I was on the next flight out of San Diego to Minnesota. So I sat there and watched the game. And heck of an environment, man. I'm super excited about it.
No doubt.
So you weren't with the team. You were kind of like an invited guest, I guess, huh?
Yeah. I was an invited guest. Sit on the field and watched it.
we're talking with Mike Remmers.
Very interesting. Very interesting weekend for me.
I can imagine. We're talking with Mike Remmers, newest member of the Kansas City Chiefs, and your birthday is coming up on Saturday. You turn 31. I got a birthday coming up next week. We're all going to be quarantined, you know, during our birthdays right now, my man. So, like, what for you would be the perfect birthday this Saturday? How are you going to celebrate this thing?
I'm just gonna have a lot of quality family time, like we've been doing this last week. I don't know. I mean, I'll probably just binge watch, you know, every Star Wars movie. I don't know. I don't know what else there is to do. So, my daughter's birthday was actually on March 22nd, and we had a cake for her and everything. We had a big group FaceTime with all of my wife's family and my family, and all sung her happy birthday. It was pretty special in its own way, but you know, I'll never forget this birthday.
no doubt you're gonna. You mentioned binge watch the Star Wars movies. I'd be remiss if I asked, like, the first thing you're gonna do once you get out of quarantine, because you are a huge Star Wars fan, obviously. Like, are you gonna run to the Star Wars store up there in Portland? Like, what's the first thing you're gonna do when this thing is all done? You are.
I know. There's a. I probably will. I probably will get my fix. You know, there's a Star Wars store. They sell these retro toys, and it's just unbelievable. It's just awesome going there. So, kind of relive my childhood and kind of brainwashing my kids into liking it as much as I am right now. So,
what was your favorite Star Wars story? Because I had a bunch of them growing up as well, and mine was like the Ewok with the quicksand, where you could stick guys down into the quicksand. Like, I love that. I had like a Jabba the Hutt thing. Like, I still have them in the basement. I should have brought them up, and we could have played during the show with our Star Wars figures.
Oh, you should, yeah. You got to have those on display. I mean, those are antiques now. You know, you got to have those. I don't know. I mean, my brother and I loved playing with the Millennium Falcon. I remember going to Toys R Us and picking up the Millennium Falcon. That was a pretty special special day of getting that. But, it's just a lot of fun playing with the kids and you know, showing them the Star Wars universe and them kind of going with their own imagination with it. And it's a lot of fun.
So, Mike, we're talking with Mike Remmers, Chiefs offensive lineman. When you go to the Star Wars store that's in Portland, is it new toys that are retro toys, or are they actually selling like the old school C-3PO ones that you and I had back in the day, and they're like in mint condition?
Yeah, they're selling everything you could imagine. Original toys that came out in the 70s, and then they have, obviously, they got the newest ones that are coming out, but they have any toy you could ever imagine, Star Wars toys, they got it. And it's so much fun going. They're all brand new in the box, sealed and everything. And just going through there, just like looking around is really fun.
So where do you draw the line between buying and opening and playing with them, or displaying them and not letting anybody touch them?
I've definitely bought a few and opened them. And I definitely feel a little guilty about it, because I'm like, someone had this like, you know, they saved this for years, you know, 20 years, and I'm just going to open it. But, you know, I don't think toys are meant to be played with. And, you know, obviously if it's a super special one, you know, I won't buy with that. I probably won't buy it because it'd be too expensive anyways. But, you know, the kids love playing with them, so I have no problem opening them.
I had the experience about a year. We moved about a year ago, so we were packing up all stuff. And I had the same as you guys. I had the box of the old, my parents saved them, Star Wars things as a kid. The first thing I did was open them up, not play with them, but I went online to see if I had any of the rare ones that had any value. I was so bummed.
Did you?
No. They were all kind of the generic ones. But, you know, Boba Fett's rocket didn't launch, and Darth Vader had the plastic cape versus the if you had the fabric cape, I think that one was more rare.
Yeah.
I was bummed that I didn't have any of the rare ones, Mike.
I know, you're like, what do you mean? I don't have a toy worth $100,000? Like, what?
Right.
So here's what I'm proposing. Once you get to Kansas City, we'll set up a play date with the three of us, and we'll all play with our Star Wars figures. Yeah. Are you in?
Oh, I'll bring some toys in there. Don't worry. I'll have a suitcase full of them.
Nerd out. That is completely nerding out. We understand your favorite food might be pizza. Is that correct? Describe the perfect pizza.
I do. You know, I've been making a lot of pizza lately here at home on the grill, and I just love thin crust, pepperoni pizza. I mean, really, that's all you need is pepperoni. Sometimes I venture out and add some sausage in there and stuff like that, but thin crust, pepperoni pizza, you can't beat that.
You know, you grill it.
And how do you grill it?
I'm always afraid to do that.
Yeah, I grilled the pizza one time, and I left it on there and went out by, like, 3 minutes later, it was black. I'm like, okay, this was a fail.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I'm a huge fan, and I got a pizza stone and everything, and just crank that thing up as hot as it goes, and you know, it takes about 10-15 minutes, and it's done. And now it's some of the best pizza I ever had, and I love making it. So we've been kind of during the quarantine, we've been experimenting, making a lot of food, making ribs and steaks. So I heard there's some pretty good barbecue down in Kansas City, so I'm excited to experience that.
Yeah, most of it's at Mitchell Schwartz's house, so form a bond with him fast and let him cook for you. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I started following him. He takes it to a whole nother level. He takes it above and beyond. So I'm not on that level, but I could make some pretty good food.
Is there something you cooked recently that you never thought you would make before, turned out great, and you're like, wow, this was awesome. I should have done this earlier. Yeah.
Yes, I made clam linguine, which
I love it. My favorite dish, man.
It's like my wife's favorite food. Yeah, it's my wife's favorite food. And for Valentine's Day, I was like, okay, I'm going to, you know, try to make this. And it actually turned out really good, and now I make it like every other week now.
Yeah, I love it. Linguine with white clam sauce. As a kid growing up, I grew up in New Jersey, so growing up there with like a lot of Italian heritage there, like the linguine and white clam sauce that I used to get as a kid was phenomenal. I absolutely love it. Okay. So when we set up the play date, you'll have to cook for us as well.
Clam sauce and Star Wars characters. Nice.
I love it. I love it.
You were a skateboarder. Do you still skateboard, or have you been I probably shouldn't say this because, you know, Peach might be listening.
Right.
Are you still allowed to get on your skateboard?
No, I have not been on a skateboard in a long time. My neighbor's kids have skateboards, and I've been very tempted to get on it. But, you know, being a 300-plus pound, I'm not confident the board's going to really, you know, hold up for me. So I think one day, you know, eventually when I'm done playing and I lose a bunch of weight, you know, maybe I'll pick the board back up again and play with that. But that was a huge thing. I loved skateboarding growing up. And honestly, skateboarding is kind of it's a very similar thing when it comes to offensive line play. It's all footwork. And I think that helped me in the world of sports, skateboarding when I was younger.
What was the coolest thing you ever did on a skateboard?
There's a church down the street from my house that has a nine. So it's a nine stairs. So it's nine steps, and I jumped down the nine stairs. So that was probably the most impressive thing I ever did.
I'm sure the church was really appreciative of you using their steps for
skateboarding. No, yeah, you got to go in. You got to be quick about it. You got to be in and out. And don't go on the weekends. Don't go on the weekend. You got to go when they're not there.
All right, I think one of the coolest things about you is we stalked your Twitter feed yesterday. You've been to the last Blockbuster video on Earth. What did you rent?
Yeah. Oh, I didn't rent anything. I just it's in Bend, Oregon, so Central Oregon. We always go down every year for a little family vacation. And And I was like, okay, Kelly, we got to go. It's the last one. There was another one that was in Alaska. That one's close. This is officially the last one. I was like, we have to go. And she, my wife, did not want to go at all. And I was like, I just didn't even tell her I'm going. I just kind of went a different route to it. And then I showed up and we're there. She's like, wait, where are we? And I was like, oh, it's Blockbuster. And as I'm sitting there, a lady walks up and returns DVDs. I was like, oh, my goodness, there's people that actually use this service, too. Like, it's crazy.
Wow, that is wild, man. So,
well, it's going to remain open. I think they would have to still service customers, right?
I guess, right?
Not just a museum.
I know. I was like, I don't know if people, like, bought stuff there, but, I mean, like, people are just movies. And, I don't know. That's the best way to do it. But, no, I mean, it definitely brought back a lot of memories, you know, seeing it.
Mike, thanks for catching up today, letting us get to know you a little bit, and we look forward to hopefully seeing you in Kansas City whenever we're all allowed to do so.
Of course, yeah, I know. This whole thing is crazy. I can't wait to come down and meet all the coaches and my teammates and meet the fans. I can't wait.
Mike Remmers, thanks for the time today. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's the new offensive lineman for the Chiefs. He's got his gear. They send him the goodie pack, which is
good. That's what you need. You need
the
shirts.
Yeah, look for the family photo, the Christmas card photo, coming out a little bit later today via his social media. We talked Blockbuster. Not quite the same thing, but technology and stuff is certainly affecting the NFL. We'll discuss next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Our thanks to Mike Remmers, new Chiefs offensive lineman, for dropping by. Star Wars geek, in a good way.
Yeah.
And skateboarding helped him, see? When the kid's out there skateboarding, says, and you want your kid playing a real sport, you know, he could say, well, that stuff, that dexterity and stuff helped me in other sports. There
clam
you go.
Sauce aficionado, too.
And
Linguini with
something.
White clam sauce, Ryan. Oh, so
did
good.
Did he say he made his own cook? Clam sauce? Or that he just, like, got some clam sauce and, like, made that. Like, you know how some people say, well, I made spaghetti, but really all they did was boil pasta?
Right, yeah, that's true.
It's probably more along that line. I don't think he was, yeah.
Well, he lives up in Portland, which is near the coast, so I'm sure he has access to clams.
Like, I'd like to believe that Remmers was putting together, like, a nice pan sauce, you know? Is that her deglazing it? And
I don't know that you can... Like, you can buy something the chopped reduced. Clams.
He had to reduce something in order to make this meal.
Definitely. It was like a white wine reduction on the clams.
No question. Yeah. But, like white clam sauce is basically clams, butter, and some white wine. I mean, and garlic you throw in there, obviously.
Yeah, and you reduce but it. It's a reduction.
Yeah, and you reduce it. Right, exactly. So, yeah, there was a reduction involved.
That's all I'm saying is, do you think Remmers, like, went out and bought it, like, I don't know if they sell a jar of clam sauce. Now I'm thinking
no, they
out
sell,
loud about it.
I had actually... clam juice in my house for a decade. I'd move clam juice from when we moved to St. Louis back
gross.
From St. Louis. Like and finally like a couple of months ago, out. Jen's like, "You got to throw this out." I'm like, "What hasn't been opened yet?"
Do you think
sealed.
It was the oldest thing in your house? I mean, other than you and your wife, but like food wise, yes.
Oh, the clam juice was definitely much older than the kids. And they're 9 and 10. So, that I mean, that clam sauce, brother.
When you move stuff multiple times, it's a problem. Yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty sure I have a thing of soy sauce that predates my children. So,
right. Yeah. I mean, there's a good chance that clam juice was bought in like aught 6 and I just got rid of it.
Holy
like
Lord. Yeah. Was it still good?
I don't know. I was going to use it.
So gross.
Did it have a date?
Oh, God, yes. Yeah. The dates now, though. Everybody's saying the dates are fake.
Yeah, I never fully
they
believed
are fake.
Those.
I don't believe expiration dates at all.
Like, if you got a can of peas, well, that's never going bad.
But year, I'm saying, if your expiration date's gone, I mean, it's fine 6 months or so, but I mean, you're talking about years.
Oh, yeah, the expiration date was in the aughts.
Yeah. I'd be a little bit leery. Like,
we're not in the roaring 20s.
Can I go buy this same thing now and replace it for, like, $1.50? I'll do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And I wasn't ever going to use that clam juice. I don't know why.
I don't even know why. Was it not in the first place?
It was at some restaurant.
Well, I was going to make linguine with white clam sauce.
Oh, I thought you were going to make like clamato or something.
No, and at one point
making
I was going to
Bloody
make
Marys over there? What's happening?
Use whatever you have for a Bloody Mary.
Yeah.
There you go.
I got some tomatoes and some clam juice. Well, I'll mash the tomatoes and pour the clam juice over top of it and put some vodka in. Let's go.
Technology and stuff really affecting the NFL right now. Tom Pelissero of NFL Network. Teams are preparing for this this draft and some not dry swings, but dry runs at it.
For most teams, the general manager's house is going to be the central hub of the draft operation. So a lot of those GMs that I've spoken to have one main question. Is all this technology going to work? Well, the NFL has been in contact with individual clubs about their tech setups, what their needs are going to be. Expect the league to run multiple systems checks, including a mock draft of sorts with all 32 teams involved to make sure everybody is up to speed before draft day.
And then you could give out your fake picks then, right?
Yeah.
You could really try to throw teams off, make up names and what have you, and make those draft picks. But yeah, I want the reports. I need the reports from the mock drafts and what went wrong.
I want to know what general managers are going to do when it is their turn to pick. Are they going to give like their father-in-law's name? Are they going to give a player that's on the team's name? Are they going to give, you know, somebody from the past, like, you know, whoever the case may be, to try to not tip their hand what they're going to do? Because God forbid, if you're a general manager and you give the name of like a running back, then people are going to start to think, well, they're thinking running back.
Or
the fake mock draft, they went with Walter Payton. You know, they're thinking running back.
Or I might give a name that actually is currently in the draft that I have no intention of drafting.
That could be another one too. Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
No, yeah. Just freak some team out behind you.
Yeah.
You're trying. Yeah. We don't need a running back. Let's draft a running back. Whatever. Just to get the team spooked.
Or if you're the Bengals, you know, go with Tua as your first pick, and that will freak everybody out as well. You know, you could have some fun with this thing.
I don't know if this crew is up for fun. They're also paranoid right now.
Yeah, they really are, aren't they?
Like, freaking out about, you know, will your Zoom get hacked on draft night and another team find out information? I'd be less worried about that and more worried about, in one of your sessions, somebody saying something disparaging about one of the draft picks and it gets out.
Because that all of a sudden will become the news of the
day. Oh, for sure. I mean,
yeah. Like, if the Lions draft somebody and for whatever reason the microphone for the Dolphins was left on, they go, oh, my God, I can't believe they took that guy. You know, that guy was like, that guy was terrible in college. He had no business being in the draft. I can't believe the Lions. What a joke. Oh, that was on.
Yeah, like, I'd be more afraid of yourself than somebody else jumping in and hacking what you're discussing and finding out who you're going to draft, and be more along the lines of, yeah, so-and-so, this team didn't like this particular quarterback all along.
Or if you're getting ready to trade up, let's go to the Chiefs a couple of years ago where they're getting ready to trade up to number 10 and they've got, you know, Patrick Mahomes in their sights and that's the guy that they want, and they're watching that board fall, and say they're on that pick 6. I don't remember when the Chiefs traded to move up, right? Whether it was pick 8, pick whatever it was, and they're on pick 6, and, you know, Lou Gotz goes at pick 6, and then you hear the Chiefs like high five, all right, phew, they didn't take Mahomes, and then all of a sudden, oh, that's why you're taking Mahomes there, and then somebody jumps them, you know, or one of those type of deals where you jump a bunch of people to get a player, and then it leaks out that's who you're going to get, and then some other team wants him, and they end up jumping you to get that guy. Now that's where you would have some serious people freaking out and losing their mind, which I can't say I blame, but again, it's on you to make sure you got your mics muted at that point.
Yeah, I mean, you got to just – it goes back to all this. Keep your house in order, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the teams that aren't prepared right now weren't going to be prepared in three – you know, if you're cramming right now, you're already behind the eight ball.
Right.
And if you're complaining about the technology and you're not sure you're going to be able to handle it, well, you're letting something get after you. You know, you have your plan in place. You have your lines of communication open. Like, I don't blame teams that they run through the scenarios either. I mean, I would do that definitely. Like, okay, here's going to be the setup. I'm having direct communication with this, but then if you need to get a hold of me, if I need to get a hold of you, we're going to do it this way. And the GM has to kind of orchestrate how he's going to be in touch with everybody. Those scenarios I'd absolutely run with, rather than figuring out, is the Zoom going to freeze?
Yeah.
When I need to make my pick, or is I mean, the Patriots got really freaked out, right? So the Patriots going to hack into my system to find out who we're thinking about drafting? I'd be less fearful of that stuff than what you're doing yourself.
Yeah, I think so too. And I wouldn't put it past the Patriots to try to hack into everybody's, you know, Zoom and figure out what's going on. I mean, look, they've created that mess for themselves. I'm sorry, guys. Like, you know, with the New England Patriots right now, that is the team that you do have to worry about. They've made their bed, and they got to sleep in their bed. They're known cheaters. And so I'm sure there are 31 other NFL teams that are like, I don't think they're going to do it, but we still got to make sure the Patriots aren't cheating.
They've lived in that world for a long, long time. Check out the interview with Mike Remmers, the new Chiefs offensive lineman, 610sports.com. and the radio.com app in the on-demand section. Tomorrow, we're scheduled to be joined by Royals manager Mike Matheny. He'll drop by tomorrow, give us the lay of the land and what he's telling his Royals players right about now.
At some point, right?
That's at some point.
Some point.
Don't pin set your alarm like for at some point.
There are
point.
No timetables in the world of sports right now. So
no timetables in life right
that's right,
now,
right? So in anything. So
take
don't
your timetable and shove it.
That's right. 6 to 10 tomorrow. Tune in. There you go. Cody and Gold, come your way next on 610 Sports Radio.
Talk to you later.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.